Episode two.
Thank the light. I am not long for this world to die.
My week started at 4:30 in the morning on Christmas Day when we got broken into.
Oh, yes. Or not yes. Not that. That sounded like an awesome. Yes.
Oh no! It's yes. It's yes. It's so dumb. It'll be on every. It's like every fucking episode of dumbest fucking criminals you've ever.
Oh God.
So my week started then, and I've worked every day since Christmas Day.
Oh my God.
So I'll get a day off Saturday, and then my wife is telling me no, but my mind is telling me yes. I want to go drive to Spokane on Saturday and look at a couple houses. She's like, no, we're not. You're gonna fucking lose your mind if we try to do that, and you're gonna like murder me or something. Like, we can't. You need to sleep for a day or something. I'm like, I'll be cool. So I'll drink coffee. I can, you know, I'll figure out a way to stay awake.
Like, I can do it by myself. That'd be fine. If you're worried about me killing you, I'll send you some pictures. It's all
she's
good.
She's like, I think we should just probably, you should have a nap and it'll be okay.
Well, you tell your wife that I love her more now than ever before. That is the best suggestion ever.
Yeah, she's like, I love you, baby. And I, you know, that was another thing. I don't know if I told you this. I got pre-approved for a home loan.
No way.
Did I not tell you that?
No.
Yeah, not a lot. It's like a two.
What, did they look at your trailer and be like, this guy needs a home?
No, just we got our, you know, I my grandma gave me a little money a while back, and I used it on getting our credit in order and got approved for, I don't make a lot of money, so we only got approved for like $215,000, but also first time home buyer credits of like $15,000. We can do 3.5 down. So basically our budget's like $250,000, $260,000, and there's tons of houses dropping into that range in Spokane. And so we're, you know,
fuck
like,
yeah, Spokane, that'll get you some land, baby.
Fuck, dude. I looked at this place for $260,000 with 5 acres and 2 wells on it, chicken coops and a manufactured home, but I don't give a fuck. It's got another building site. We looked at this other one that's 2,000 square feet in town with a nice big yard and a huge garage. And I'm like, it's got a downstairs area with like a bar and a fireplace. I'm like, well, that's where I'm fucking recording, motherfucker.
I was just going to say, yeah, make sure you got a studio there. And we're
we will. Set. That's part of it. The main things we're looking for, kitchen, yard for the dogs, and then, you know, bathtub. We got to have a bathtub and, you know, obviously a room to record in. So
Kelly's always like, are you sure you could live in, you know, she's always dreaming about living in weird places. She's like, would you be okay there? I'm like, they have Wi-Fi there, right? Like they have internet. They have internet. Yeah, I'm good.
Yep, I'll be fine. That's pretty much me too.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that saved me here is that we have internet.
You get me gigabyte internet.
That's all I need, man. If I can stream some shows and play little video games and listen to a podcast, that's really all I need.
There you go.
I got everything else I need. So
hell yeah, awesome. Well, congratulations. That's good. And sorry, I totally cut you off. What kind of Sedai are you tonight?
Oh, I will be your. I'm gonna be your ruler of cups, Sedai.
Ding.
Buffalo Trace bourbon.
Why are you cracking me up so night tonight? You're so
TM.
So stupid. And
TM.
TM. Buffalo Trace. Oh, look at that little. Is that a little ketchup bottle? Are you fucking taking shots out of a ketchup bottle?
It's a mason jar. Little baby mason jar. Such a redneck.
I now know I have to go to a hotel and raid their mini ketchup jars and clean them all out for you so I can send you a dozen shot glasses. A dozen ketchup shot glasses.
That's awesome. You know what? I do want to say something. Not that he'll ever hear it, but one of the kids that works for me, his name is Benjamin Dion. He's about 24. He's about Connor's age.
God, I can't fucking believe Connor is 24.
I
used to babysit that kid, everybody.
I know, man. They're so big. Fucker makes more money than I do.
Doing nothing.
Not
doing nothing.
Makes like 30 bucks an hour managing Pagliacci's, bro.
Oh, I didn't know he was. I thought he was still just rocking stocks and sleeping all day.
No, dude. He makes fucking like 30 bucks an hour. Benefits and shit. He's a fucking, he's got his own store. So it's like, it's easy. I don't know. I make a fuck ton of money. I'm like, yeah, why not, dude? Who cares?
He's just that kind of kid too. That job would, I would like stress myself out of that job. And he's just like, what?
And he's just so laid back about it. He's like, I work a lot, but whatever. Like he's like, fucking today. Okay. Today he texts me. I'm like, hey, what's going on? I'm getting all these texts from T-Mobile. He's like, yeah, I lost my phone. I need another one. I'm like, oh, did you have to get a month thing? He's like, no, I just bought one. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, it was like $1,000. I just bought it. I'm just like, okay, kid.
Don't buy me a phone.
Oh, yeah. And that was the other thing. He's like, also, I've just paid the phone bill because we're on it together. He usually just Venmos me money and then I paid. He's like, also, I paid the phone bill. I was like, it's not due till the 5th. He's like, yeah, but I couldn't buy one until I paid it. So I was like, were you going to tell me? He was like, oh, it's no big deal. It's like, I guess I'll just pay it myself next month then, dickhead. God, fucking kid. Anyways, this kid that works for me, Ben, you know, kind of immature when I first started and like really hard worker, but would always like shoot himself in the foot doing dumb stuff. Anyways.
Like a 24-year-old.
He's grown up a lot. He's grown up a lot. And he's just a really good kid. And I guess I'm mentoring him. I try to be a good boss and good big brother type of dude. But he got me a couple of notebooks for Christmas. And I'm gonna get choked up. he got me this card and he like sealed it with wax. He wrote me this really nice note and was just like, hey man, you know, thank you for all you've done. I can never repay you. I can never say thank you enough, but hopefully this helps with the pod and whatever you want to do. And I just really appreciate you. And I was just, it was really nice.
What a guy.
Shout out to you, Ben. You're a good kid. So
shout out, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah.
For more, thank the light. Head on over to patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome.
So episode part two of Bubbles of Evil. I guess we'll just do this and we'll do part three next time. And
yes,
we can kind of, I'll try to get either probably, you know what they, I think they talk about some stuff right in the chapter afterwards. I think Matt goes to see, like, Perrin goes to see Rand and talk to him about it. And Matt goes to see.
And I can check. We kind of got into this like quick, like, holy fuck. I knew we were recording today for a month and I still was like, holy fuck, we got to record. But I have a bunch of bookmarks too. So I'll double check my bookmarks for chapter three and blah, blah, blah.
Right. And like I said, Matt goes and talks to Tom. And then Perrin goes and talks to Rand kind of with Fael. And she ditches out and then whatever. But so there's a few important things that we can kind of like, we can do a twofer and they're kind of attached. So like a 1A, 1B and a 2A, 2A, 2B type of thing. So this would be part two of the Bubble of Evil in the Stone of Tyr. Matt is playing some cards with some lordlings. You're finally getting some, like, after, you know, Matt starts to really come into his own in book three, and you're starting to get really the cool Matt. You're starting to hear him talk about his luck when he's starting to learn how to, like, kind of gauge his luck. He feels it. He'll say something like, it's tingling in my head, or I feel the dice rolling, or something like that. And you start to realize that his luck has to do with the more random something is, the better his luck is. So cards are, he's lucky, but not as lucky as dice. Stones is a game of like skills. So it doesn't really, you know, that's Tom will only play stones with him because he can't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tom is such a cool character for so many reasons. It would be, I saw this thing where Yosha was talking about playing certain scenes later in the books that he really wants to be able to do. There's a scene with his dad, Tam, and then a scene with Min that are really like hardcore stuff. And he's like, they're really towards the end. And it's like, I hope you get to do them. I really do because that would mean it goes where I want it to go and it'll still be going. So
do Tom and I think they've been on a boat together. Tom and Bale, do they ever cross paths? Do they share a scene together?
I think they just cross paths that once. They may cross paths at one point later because Bale is with this Sean Chan woman.
Of course he is.
And I think it's actually Matt who says it. He's being kind of somewhat disrespectful, and Bale's like, I'll fucking beat you. I'll do it. I don't want to, but I will. I'll fucking rip your arm off and beat you with it. I will. So, but you get a little bit of Matt. You know, he's playing with these lordlings and they're talking about commoners and making some things, and Matt's getting kind of fucking pissed off, and he's egging them on, but he's also trying to distract them so he can bluff them out of their money at cards and everything. So it's a really fun scene with them, but his scene is a little bit shorter and it's way more matrixy, and I would really love to see it on scene, on screen. He's very standoffish with the lordlings. He's feeling the Taviran pull that Perrin was talking about earlier in this chapter, except he has the opposite reaction where Perrin's like, I can't leave Rand. He needs me. I feel like how can I leave him if I think leaving him would make him fail? And Matt's like, I don't give a shit. I got to get the fuck out of here, bro.
Yeah.
I want to go find some taverns and some tavern wenches and let's go. But every time Matt tries to get away, something happens to where he can't.
Yeah.
Or even when he does get away, he's still doing stuff that's for Rand. He doesn't even realize it.
I really hope we get a chance to see Matt's luck kind of naturally. I'm really afraid this is going to get rushed somehow, and we're going to watch him win like two dice rolls. And then, I mean, he's already got the fucking light. He's already got the lightsaber. Like, he doesn't need any more luck than that in battle.
I hope they get rid of that somehow. Like, Jesus Christ.
I would seriously just watch. That's one thing this show will never have time for. Well, I don't know. We always say that. But like, if it was just like.
No, say that. Because then if they do, it'll be great. Because I'm like, yeah.
Just like have an episode where like we only see like four main characters while Matt is just pimping out a fucking casino for a night. Like, I would totally watch that episode.
Oh, absolutely. It could be a mashup.
And
know?
In that, we would see his luck. And so it'd be kind of like a one-off episode, but would also give us everything we needed to know for the next five seasons of his luck.
Yeah, all you need is like a little slow-mo of him, like when he throws the dice. And actually, the thing that we're the clip we're about to listen to, they describe something and it's like, it's almost like matrically. I just picture it.
Oh,
like
yes.
Matrix C, Inception, slow-mo backwards. And like, kind of like a fucking camera spin or something, you know, to give you some perspective. And you see that whatever it is he's doing is kind of slowing down for him, whether he's in control of it or it's something else entirely. You can, I think there would be it's like, what does Deadpool say? And dude, he's like, yeah, luck's not really cinematic. You know, I don't know. I think it is. It is. It's not really a superpower. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see. I watched Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny again last night. Like, Indiana Jones
is it bad?
It's time travel. It's the best Indiana Jones movie ever. but like, his life is so based on luck. Like, Indiana Jones, it's just all luck. How he doesn't get shot, and it's like that in all of them. It's not just this one, or it's not just, you know, a bunch of weird ones. But I was just watching it last night.
It's like that in Star Wars until Kylo Ren gets at him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe it's just Harrison Ford. Maybe it's not Indiana Jones. Maybe it's Harrison Ford. Anyways, I'm so excited for this. I thought you were going to play one scene, which may or may not come up in this chapter or in this discussion, but that's okay. I can bring that up when we're done talking. But I know definitely one part you're going to play, so I'm super duper excited. So
okay. yeah, so we should be able to get into it, and then I have a few more things that Matt talks about afterwards, and that should be it. So this clip is, again, still in chapter two. We are at 50 minutes even.
Did I not write it down again? What the fuck name is this chapter? How come I keep forgetting to write it down?
Whirlpools in the Pattern.
Whirlpools in the Pattern.
The worst. All right, here we go.
Seriously.
And if he's crazy enough to start a war, I'll leave if I have to walk.
It's talking about Rand.
Shut up!
Outside in the darkness, a cock crowed.
Another fucking
Matt
cock!
Matt uneasily and told himself not to be foolish. No one was going to die.
Cock is always dangerous. The Wheel of Time has taught us nothing but that.
The Amarlin's hand had been replaced by a knife. While he was telling himself he was tired and seeing things, she plunged the tiny blade into the back of his hand. With a hoarse yell, he flung the cards away and hurled himself backward, overturning his chair, kicking the table with both feet as he fell. The air seemed to thicken like honey. Everything moved as if time had slowed, but at the same time, everything seemed to happen at once. Other cries echoed his, hollow shouts reverberating inside a cavern. He and the chair drifted back and down, the table floated upward. The ruler of flames hung in the air, growing larger, staring at him with a cruel smile. Now close to life size, she started to step out of the card. She was still a painted shape with no depth, but she reached for him with her blade, red with his blood, as if it had already been driven into his heart. Beside her, the ruler of cups began to grow, the tyrant High Lord drawing his sword. Matt floated, yet somehow he managed to reach the dagger in his left sleeve and hurl it in the same motion, straight for the Amalyn's heart. If this thing had a heart. The second knife came into his left hand smoothly and left more smoothly. The two blades drifted through the air like thistledown. He wanted to scream, but that first yell of shock and outrage still filled his mouth. The ruler of rods was expanding beside the first two cards, the Queen of Andor gripping the rod like a bludgeon, her red-gold hair framing a madwoman's snarl. He was still falling, still yelling that drawn-out yell. The Amarlin was free of her card, the High Lord striding out with his sword. The flat shapes moved almost as slowly as he. Almost. He had proof the steel in their hands could cut, and no doubt the rod could crack a skull. his skull. His thrown daggers moved as if sinking in jelly. He was sure the cock had crowed for him. Whatever his father said, the omen had been real. But he would not give up and die. Somehow he had two more daggers out from under his coat, one in either hand. Struggling to twist in midair to get his feet under him, he threw one knife at the golden-haired figure with the bludgeon. The other he held up to as he tried to turn himself to land ready to face. The world lurched back into normal motion, and he landed awkwardly on his side, hard enough to drive the wind out of him. Desperately, he struggled to his feet, drawing another knife from under his coat. You could not carry too many, Tom claimed. Neither was needed. For a moment, he thought cards and figures had vanished, or maybe he had imagined it all. Maybe he was the one going mad. Then he saw the cards, back to ordinary size, pinned to one of the dark wood panels by his still quivering knives. He took a deep, ragged breath. The table lay on its side, coins still spinning across the floor, with lordlings and servants crouched among scattered cards. They gaped at Matt and his knives, those in his hands and those in the wall, with equally wide eyes. Estine snatched a silver pitcher that had somehow escaped being overturned and began pouring wine down his throat, the excess spilling over his chin and down his chest.
Drunk guy's like, I need more booze.
Just because you do not have the cards to win, Dorian said hoarsely, there is no need to... He cut off with a shudder. You saw it too. Matt slipped the knives back into their sheaths. A thin trickle of blood ran down the back of his hand from the tiny wound. Don't pretend you went blind. I saw nothing, Ryman said woodenly. Nothing. He began crawling across the floor, gathering up gold and silver, concentrating on the coins as if they were the most important thing in the world. The others were doing the same, except Estine, who scrambled about checking the fallen pitchers for any that still held wine. One of the servants had his face hidden in his hands. The other, eyes closed, was apparently praying in a low, breathless whine. With a muttered oath, Matt strode to where his knives pinned the three cards to the panel. They were only playing cards again, just stiff paper with the clear lacquer cracked. But the figure of the Ammerlin still held a dagger instead of a flame. He tasted blood and realized he was sucking the cut in the back of his hand. Hastily, he wrenched his knives free, tearing each card in half before tucking the blade away. After a moment, he hunted through the cards littering the floor until he found the rulers of coins and winds, and tore them across too. He felt a little foolish. It was over and done with. The cards were just cards again.
So Matt's seemed a little bit less intense than Perrin's. Because it was over very quickly, is what it seemed like.
I don't...
He made such quick work of the cards that the other lordlings tried to pretend nothing happened. But they obviously saw something, but they were like, what?
Yeah, so in what everyone else around the table saw was him just fall back in his chair, fling a couple knives, and that's it. Like, is that like a 4 second?
Right, but no, they grew to full size, but he staked them with knives so fast, it was like, boom, boom.
Oh.
Like, I picture them, like, full size, start to step out of the card, and he's like, poop, 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 and sticks them each to a wall, and then they turn back into playing cards, regular playing cards again.
So had he not flung his knives so fast, everyone else around the table would have also seen full-size people coming out of the cards.
Well, they saw him, but it happened so quickly. They were like, I can't have just seen that. Matt's like, it stabbed me. It stabbed me in the hand. I have a bloody mark from it. Because when he's holding the playing card, the Admiral seat stabs him in his hand from the card. And then he drops the card and it starts to grow. And then he's like, what the fuck? And he falls backwards. But even as he's falling backwards, like in slow motion, and they're growing up in like slow motion, he's like, boom, 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 throws three knives and hits three of them to the wall. And then as soon as he sticks them to the wall, they die, quote unquote, and shrink back to a normal playing card. That's why the lordlings are like, oh, if you don't have the cards, you don't have to like freak out. And he's like, you fucking saw it too. I'm not crazy. And then he went and tears the cards up. He tears the cards up afterwards. He's like, fuck you.
Oh, see, that happened so fast for me too. I couldn't keep up. You know, it's funny. I was standing. That was like, here, I'm going to press play just to see exactly where I was when I got home tonight.
The table lay on its side, coins still spinning across the floor where lordlings and servants crashed among scattered cards. They gaped at Matt and his knives. Those in his
that's like almost right. Rare stopped it. That's fucking great.
Yeah, that's what I was listening to on my like a half hour before we started recording. I was driving home from dinner, just trying to get through a little bit more of the chapter today. Holy shit! Because yeah, I was like, because so leading up to this is when his luck is really starting to kick in, and he's like, all right.
Yeah, he says, I can feel my luck starting to, you know.
Yeah, and everyone around the table is getting a little silly, and he decides to get a little silly with them to try to get them to kind of, you know, forget that he's about to take them for all their money. So his, not only is his luck kicking in, but he's also using his gift of gab to get the pot.
Right. Well, he's getting pissed off because they're kind of like talking shit about peasants and farmers, and he's like, what the fuck do you think I am?
Yeah.
And so he starts kind of like, he kind of can't help himself. He starts talking about the Aiel, which is a very sore subject with the Tyrans because they just invaded the stone, which has never been invaded. So talking about that makes him a little sour, except for the one guy who's super drunk. And then Matt just kind of keeps rolling with it because he's got like a full house or whatever. Basically the best hand you can get in the game that you, that they are playing, the whatever card game, poker or whatever they're playing. He's got the best hand you can get. And so he's trying to kind of go, just keep him talking. He starts telling the story about playing Maiden's Kiss. He's like, I'll tell you this, I got Nick left some shaving. And they're like, oh, I bet. They start talking about the sea folk women, how they're always topless when they're on their ships.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And he's trying to kind of, but he's being like snarky and he's being shitty and he knows it, but he's like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm trying to keep them going so that they keep betting, basically. I want to take all their money.
And it's like, this is like the sun's coming up on rounders.
Oh, yeah. They've been going for like at least the night, maybe like 2 days.
Yeah, totally.
And Matt's not even drunk. He says it's the same cup. At one point, he says the servant like keep trying to like fill it up. And he's like, nah, it's on his first one. Nah. And they're all fucking trashed.
Yeah, they've been drinking.
The one guy especially is trashed, yeah. But he's like, you know, he's thinking in his head about how Tom has been helping Rand by playing Deus de Mar and keeping the Tyran lords who are, there's something actually Tom starts, he finds out that one of these High Lord's wives is cheating on him, but then he starts writing these letters.
Tom's fucking everybody.
He's not, you think he is, but that's his game. He really isn't.
Okay.
And he starts going like, he starts playing this one High Lord and this other High Lord and his wife against each other to the point where like one of the wives like poisons one of them and then the other one has to leave this. It's pretty nefarious and it's all Tom just writing letters and like forging letters in other people's handwriting and stuff. Jesus. It's pretty great. That's one of the things in the next chapter that, you know, he's actually doing something in his room and Matt knocks on his door and he's like, shit, like hiding all his stuff. It's pretty funny. So Matt's thinking about that and he's telling the story about the Aiel and then this shit goes down.
Then all this shit, yeah, fuck.
And they even mentioned something about, you know, tell the Lord Dragon, Matt, that, you know, we'll conquer the world for him. And Matt's just like, dude,
yeah.
You know, a month ago, you guys would have fucking stabbed your brother in the back in the dark if you knew he could channel. Now you're ready to go to the, you know, ends of the earth for a guy who can channel because you know he'll win for you with his channeling, basically.
Because they're talking about like the like flags hanging, like dragon flags hanging in town and shit like that. Is that, that's what's going on?
And they want to go to war with Ilion, which is the nation that's next to him and shit like that.
So what happens at, so Matt can't, like, he's exposed his card, so he can't win the hand again. Do we just kind of, for all intents and purposes, cut away from this scene?
Oh, yeah, that's like when you were playing Monopoly when you were a kid and you got sick of losing. You just, the fucking game's over. Totally. Every time anyone ever played Monopoly with my son,
boom.
Because he would always kick everyone's ass.
Oh, he'd win and flip it, or you'd flip
No. Someone else would eventually quit and flip it because he would just take everyone's fucking money.
That's awesome.
He would just be like, what? What? He, no emotion either. Like, he didn't think it was funny. Like, he was just like, I'm winning. Give me your money.
I'm playing the game. Like, the game is called Monopoly. The game isn't called cut your rent in half.
Yeah, it's not called fucking HUD housing. It's called Monopoly, bitch.
They're not the crazy, whack, funky, lyrical nuts, okay? Be nuts. Let's rock and roll. Put some real hip hop in your soul. Over this track, there's no stopping the flow. Last off in a ridiculous way and face off.
like Nicolas Cage. Slam big, get crushed, you should know better. And now you stuck like you don't know where to go.
Yeah, definitely not. So I think that, like, while that one was, like, Parents obviously was much more deadly, I guess is the word, fatal. I don't know. Matt's, like, obviously could have been fatal, but it was over so quickly. But Parents was, like, obviously super intense.
So did Perrin kick Fael out of the room too fast for her to really know what was going on?
I mean, she knew what was going on, just the fact that the axe is just fucking flying around.
Okay, so she saw the axe come to life. Because
she actually has to grab it at one point.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
To stop it from either, I think, hitting Perrin, I think.
I think both.
Or maybe her.
Yeah. So I think Perrin's is worse because, like...
Absolutely.
Oh, that's what you were saying. Okay, I thought you said it the other way. Because Matt...
Yeah, Perrin's obviously was much more fatal than Matt's. I mean, Matt's could have been, obviously, but he was so fast. And his luck, bang, 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 it was over.
Well, and Matt will still go to, like, Matt's still been on a 30, whether he's been drinking or not, he's been up for 36 hours. So he's going to go to sleep being like, did that really, like, whew, okay.
Yeah, he knows. And that's why he's like, you guys fucking saw it. Fuck you guys.
But Perrin is like, I wrestled that fucking axe to the ground. I didn't just fling a couple knives and have it all go away. And
right. That's what I'm saying. The next chapter, he goes immediately. He's like, I have to go talk to Rand right now.
Yeah.
Like, did you do this with your channeling, dude? And Rand's like, no, because when he gets, you know, we'll get to Rand's obviously next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rand's is easily as bad as Perrin's. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
Worse. Much worse in its own way, actually. His adds some creepiness to it. And it's so one I was telling you about, it kind of reminds you of Army of Darkness with Ash when the mirror, the little mirror Ash.
Yeah.
It's something similar to that. And it's got some creepiness to it that's not fun either. So
I laughed so hard. I know you're not a fan of Friends, but I have watched way too much Friends in my life. And at one point, I'm just going to over-explain this for the audience because I think it's funny. At one point, Chandler wants to give Joey some money, but Joey won't just take his money. So Chandler makes up a fake game called Cups so he can lose all of his money to Joey. And so they play Cups. And it's so funny. He's just like I said, Chandler's just making it up. So every time, like, Chandler gives Joey a card, he's just like, you didn't get the two, did you? Well, that's a full cup. I got to give you $100. It's just like, no. You didn't just get a six and a two. That's double D. That's double D cups. Here's $1,000. It's just so stupid. Stay tuned. It'll probably be in the outro of this episode, people, because that's how I am. Well, that is awesome, Justin. I was like, I wasn't sure how we were going to start this season. Like I said, I've kind of, you know, forgotten a lot of what I've read already. And you picked some great things that I really needed to explain more. Or I needed explained to me better, and I needed to slow down and actually listen to those portions of the chapters because I am listening to this on double speed just so I can finish these books in my lifetime, whether I remember them or not. And so I'm looking forward to more and more of these podcasts now, even more. So
that's the goal. Like, whether no matter how far the show goes, we get you to the end and the last battle.
Seriously.
And if the show is still going, then we can keep going. But if not, then that's when we stop.
If the show goes away, this podcast is going to be you play. I'm just going to stop reading the books, but you're going to play me 5 minutes of every chapter.
Right. No, I think that's awesome. That's what I want to do.
Which is like 500 episodes. So that's like,
right. It's like a million episodes. And I can, and like, you know, we could skip a few chapters, but I could find something really cool that's poignant probably almost every chapter.
Yeah.
Have a 2 minute clip, you know, or 5 minute clip, and then talk about it for 20, 30 minutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am.
Jeremy might actually want to come back on.
I am reinvigorated. I was just bummed because like I said, I love the show. I like watching TV. I'm a TV kid, but. And I like the books to go along with the TV show. And I like reading the books so I can have something, you know, that you love so much that I can talk to you about. And I'm super duper excited now for this off season. So thank you very much. That's your fault.
Nice. And honestly, if I only got to just go through this journey in the books with you, it would be worth the podcast because it's something that I love so much. And it's fun. It's fun.
And now that we got something else to do with Jeremy, because I still like podcasting with Jeremy, and I understand why this didn't turn out to be his jam, but he will definitely be back. We will force Jeremy back in for a couple episodes here and there. And on that note, I just would like to say, hey, Jeremy, more cocks, please.
It's a boy chicken.
Listen, dude. Listen.
And look, man, here's the thing, Des. I was going to say something clever to get out of here, but I can't think of anything. But I'm just going to say this. You know, stick around for Patreon. Come see us at Movies R Us, because I got some stories.
Yes.
And here's just a quick rundown of some stories. So my wife's grandparents and my wife have lived very close to two different serial killers and a serial rapist when she grew up within blocks. One of the guys had bodies buried across the street from her grandparents' house. That's a fun one. Also, a really, really good friend and roommate of mine that you know was good friends with someone who grew up with Israel Keyes. I don't know if you know that name or not. He's a serial killer as well.
Wow. And like I said, you keep on reminding, I forget how many stories I got. You reminded me a while ago of the time I almost had a threesome. I can still tell that. And you just reminded me that we can talk about the guy my mom dated in high school who ended up killing two wives.
Wow. Another story. If you've ever heard, there was a lady in Seattle who was kidnapped by Ted Bundy and in his van in the U District and got away. I know her. I sell her weed. She's a friend. There is a story about a girl who's only known as the shitter. It's a good story. It'd be fun. Our Warped Tour story, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Yeah.
My community service hours. My 26th birthday, where I start pounding a table and screaming cocaine in a crowded bar. That's like half the list. So stay tuned, everybody. I've had a crazy life, I'm realizing.
I have been arrested twice. One time I was strapped to a chair.
Me too.
I was strapped to a chair for several hours. And one time I was handcuffed to a floor for several hours. And that's just the beginning of those stories.
And, you know, and one of those stories ends with me picking you up in Montana.
And we'll tell everybody what you did in the hotel room that night. If you even remember.
I don't.
That's okay. I do.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Jeremy, I hope you're listening. I hope you're hate listening to this show. And yeah, like Justin said, stick around. I'm going to have a lot more information. I'm going to do a full outro with so much information. I'm going to start doing a mid-roll to remind people about our Patreon and our new podcast. And we're going to keep these kind of tight just so we can keep rolling through them. Because right now we're going to release every other week. But if we get good at this and keep them tight and just really start enjoying these chapters, we might, like I said, keep them short and maybe get back to every week so we can just stay in your ear bones. Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome, where for $3 a month, you can receive an exclusive episode every 2 weeks. If you would like to continue to support the show for free, we just ask again that you please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman, or Facebook, where we are WOT:the Wheel of Time podcast. Send questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and coming soon, we have Movies Are Us, where you guessed it, we're going to be talking about movies that you could find at the wonderful brick and mortar store of Toys R Us. If it's a game, if it's a board game, if it's a video game, if it's just a good old-fashioned toy and they have turned it into a movie, we are going to discuss it very soon. Stay posted for the soon-to-be-released podcast, Movies Are Us. You can find it at whatsoundsawesome.com, along with All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find it at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts.
Mm-hmm. May you always find water and shade. And Jeremy, come back. Otherwise, who's going to keep you from being such a huge prick? Love you, Des.
Love you, Jess.
How about, you know what? We can play a new game. A new game. It's fun.
Well, what's it called?
Cups.
I don't know how to play cups.
I'll teach you. Come on. It's really easy. Really, really fun.
All right.
Okay, here you go. I have two queens. What do you have?
Two and a five.
Oh, you win. $50.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's play again. Ready?
Woo-hoo-hoo.
What do you got?
Four and a nine.
You're kidding, right?
No, why?
Well, that's a full cup.
Damn, I am good at cups.
You win.
Well, what did you have?
Well, it doesn't matter. Nothing beats a three and a six. That, my friend, is D cup. Okay, now, how much have you won so far?
Wow. 700.
Not 700, exactly.
Yeah.
Double it.
What?
Yes, in cups, once you get $700, you have to double it. Hey, I didn't make up the rules. Okay, so now after you receive the doubling bonus, you get one card. Now that one card could be worth $100, which brings your total to $1,500. Oh, no, don't get too excited because that's not going to happen unless you get the... No way!
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.